God had his hand in things that we're going to hear today. And we're very, very grateful for that. Now, I just would like, before we begin this process, to just invite you to bow your heads. And we're going to thank God for his mighty blessings. And I'm going to pray especially for Reza as he shares his testimony today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this afternoon, our hearts are full of joy, happiness, and gratitude. Because we have seen with our own eyes how your Holy Spirit has led and guided this family in so many different ways through such a long journey. I thank you for that. And this whole church family thanks you for that. And now I want to lift them up, dear Father. I pray your special blessing on all four of them as they are integrating their lives into a new land, a new place, new language, new culture, all new food, all kinds of things. I just thank you that you brought them. And I know you have a special plan for their lives. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide in every way. Hold the devil completely out. Don't let him come close. And Lord, fill with your Holy Spirit that they may fulfill the destiny that you have for them. Right now, I want to lift up Reza. And as he speaks from his heart this afternoon, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be with him and guide and direct every single thing that he says. To your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. So they can see.
They can be seated.
They can see. Yeah, but
thank you.
I have this one right now. Yes. Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath to everybody. Let me just stand behind this. It's going to be much better. Yes. First of all, before I start, I would like to thank you very much, my church family, for all the prayers, you know, and your support. My wife and I, and also the children, we know that without your prayers and without Jesus, we could not make it. But thank God we are back here in San Diego, and I'm so happy that I can share my rest of my story, you know, with you guys. For those who are not familiar with my story, you met my wife and my children. We used to be Muslims. I mean, my wife, she's not baptized yet, but she gave up Islam. She told me that she's not going to practice Islam anymore. But we grew up as Muslims in Iran. And especially my family, my parents, they were very, very strict Muslim. And my father built a mosque when I was born. The same year, he built a mosque. And, you know, he was very religious. But in Iran, I was not really happy with, you know, my family's faith, Islam. And I had many questions. I'm just going to, you know, a little bit tell you what happened, because I have told my testimony once at this church, but I'm going to just mention what happened while I was in Iran. So I was not happy with my parents', you know, religion, and I was not practicing it. And this always bothered my parents and also my brothers, because you know that, as you know, Muslims pray in Arabic, but it's not our language. We speak Farsi. We are not Arab. We don't speak Arabic. So they pray in Arabic, and they don't understand what they are saying. But they do it five times per day. And I couldn't understand why my mother is praying God in Arabic five times. She wakes up in the morning, early in the morning, and she has to, you know, do some tradition stuff. After that, she has to talk to her God in Arabic. And they fast, like, you know, they start 4 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the afternoon, they don't eat for 30 days. They don't eat and they don't drink water. But we know that our body needs water. So I couldn't do it. And they were not happy because I don't do it. I don't pray God in Arabic. So lots of questions. And, you know, I didn't want to stay in Iran anymore. And I was not happy with the religion and with the government. You see what's going on right now in Iran. They push people. There is no freedom of speech. There is no freedom of religion. You don't want to be there. And I just left. I left Iran and I went to Turkey. I went to Turkey, and I, you know, in that time I was trying to get a visa to come to the United States. I went to, in Istanbul, I went to U.S. consulate in Istanbul. I had only my passport. No money in that time, no document that shows I have properties in Iran and I'm wealthy. I did not have anything. I went to the consulate and I just tried my chance. And lots of people were there. They were from Iran. You know, for Iranians, because we don't have a good, the government of Iran and United States don't have a good relationships, that's why we don't have consulate, U.S. consulate in Iran. So every Iranian, they have to go to the other country. That's why I went to Turkey. And, you know, I went inside. Lots of people were there. Some of them, they told me, hey, you know what? You are just wasting your time. You are not going to get visa. You don't have money. You have to show them that you have money. You have to show them this paper. You see, I have like this much paper. I said, you know, I'm going to just take my chance and go inside and try it. You know, I'm not going to lose anything. I went inside and I was waiting in line. So I gave my passport to the lady over there and she was working, you know. She told me that, do you speak, she told me, do you speak English? I said, no, in that time I could not, you know, I couldn't speak English. And she said, do you speak Turkish? I said, yeah, I speak Turkish. She said, okay, no problem, go any line you want, just you can wait in any line you want. But other Iranians, they have to go to the fifth line because they don't speak English and they don't speak Turkish. But, you know, I could speak Turkish in that time. I went to the second line and Iranians, they were calling me, hey, Reza, you are from Iran, man, you have to come in this line. I said, don't worry about it. They told me that I can wait in this line. And I went further, you know, and I gave my passport. The guy was searching my passport and he looked at me. He was American. He said, something in English. I said, no English. He said, do you speak in Turkish? He said, do you speak Turkish? I said, yes. And I said, you know what? Your accent is so beautiful. I can't imagine American speaking, you know, Turkish, and your accent is very beautiful. But he knew that my Turkish is better than, you know, his, and my accent is better than his. And he said, you speak beautiful Turkish. How did you learn? I said, you know, I love my parents. They are not from Turkey, the country, but in Iran we have Turkish people. So I speak Farsi and I speak Turkish. So I told him, yeah, what's going on? And he said, why are you going to the United States? I, you know, thought about this, and I, in that time, I was kind of nervous to tell him what's going on or not. I said, you know, in my country, they call United States Big Devil. I want to go see Big Devil. And he looked at me like this. And he was just said, and he knows what, and he knows that Iranian government and some of the religious people call United States Big Devil. And he did not say anything. He was just looking at my passport. He said, you want to go see Big Devil? I said, yes, sir. He gave me visa. And he said, go see Big Devil. And I got the visa and I came out. I was shocked. Some of the people came to me and they said, what happened? I said, I don't know. I got the visa. He said, you got the visa? What happened, man? I don't understand. These guys are crazy. You got the visa. So I got the visa, and, you know, I came. That was, I did not have lots of money in my pocket. I remember, like, 700, something like that. I went to the, in Turkey, in Istanbul, I went to, a travel agency, and I said, I want to go to the United States. This is my visa. What is the cheapest flight? They said, from Istanbul to New York is the cheapest one. I said, how much is it? 500 something, I remember. I said, okay, no problem. I go to New York. And I knew that New York is one of the cities in the United States. And I did not know where I want to go. Just I came to New York, and when I got out of the airport, I realized that I don't speak English, and I couldn't talk to anybody, you know, and I got a bus, and I came to the city with a bus, and I paid $11. That was very expensive, you know, and that is my first experience, $11 I'm talking to myself. I said, God, $11 for a bus just to get to the city, this is too much, because compared to Iran. And, you know, I went to the city, so I had 200 something in my pocket. You know, I went to the Amtrak, just make the long story short. I went to the Amtrak. It was late at night, and there was a board on the wall, and I see lots of cities on it, and I'm just watching just San Diego comes to my eyes, you know, and just Los Angeles, Fresno, Chicago, San Diego, San Diego, San Diego. I said, okay, no problem. Let's go to San Diego because, you know, San Diego, the name is beautiful and it just comes, you know, to my eyes. So, and I did not know how far San Diego is from New York. I was 5 days in the train. And when I got to San Diego, I was so happy. I was, you know, in the Amtrak, and it was 12 o'clock at night. Police came, you know, the security came. He said, hey, you have to go out. And I did not say a word. He said, you don't speak English. I said, no, I don't. He said, okay, sleep on this couch. In the morning, you can go out. I said, thank God, I can sleep, you know, right now. I slept, and in the morning, I went out. I was just, you know, out days, some days, you know, I stayed out in downtown San Diego and without knowing anybody, just walking. So I got very tired, you know, just staying in the street. And when I was coming, my wife gave me a piece of carpet. It was like little carpets and silk. It was very expensive. She gave it to me, you know, I brought it. And I brought it here. So I was just walking in the streets, and I was so tired. I did not know what's going to happen. I was crossing Ash Street. I see a church. That was my first contact, you know, just see the cross on the church and I sit down. They had a special sermon. Somebody died and they are just carrying his dead body. And I just sat down and I put my luggage and I sat down and I started crying. I said, God, what's going on? I'm tired, you know, my family in Iran, you have to do something. For 4 hours I was right there and just seeing, watching people going inside, coming out. And just relaxing. But that was not really, I was very worried, you know, about the situation. After that, right after that, I went to 4th Avenue again. 100 times I passed that street before. After that, I went to 4th Street and I see Bandar restaurant. I went to the Bandar restaurant because Bandar is a city in Iran. I went inside and I told to the owner, because I'm a Persian chef. I know how to, I'm the best Persian chef. I went inside and I said, okay, I can find a job. I can find a job in this place. I said, yeah, I'm Iranian. And I was a little bit dirty with my... They know that, you know, I'm not from San Diego. She said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Iran. And I'm talking in, you know, Persian Farsi. She said, do you have a work permit? I said, no. He said, okay, go get your work permit and then come. We have a job for you. And in that time, I realized in that time she had many illegal Mexicans in the kitchen working for her. But she did not hire me because I'm Iranian. And I came out, I said, God, these are Iranians, so who are Americans in this country? They don't want to help me, my own people. So what's going to happen, you know, Americans? I went to the next store, I see they sell carpets, rugs. I said, Reza, you know, go inside and sell the rug. You can, you know, spend some money and go to the hotel or whatever. Just spend the money, get some money. I went inside, and there was a guy over there. He was from Iran as well. I said hi, and I sit down. I had a little carpet, showed him, and he started to ask me some question, you know, my background and in Iran and also my name. So he said that, what is your last name? I said Nazri, and he's just getting more anxious and asking me more questions. I told him that we have a market, because my father has a right place, you know, carpet place in the market. When I said that we have a carpet place in the market and the name of the place, when he said his last name, I realized that I know his father and his two uncles, they are neighbors with my father's store in the market in Tehran. And I couldn't believe it because I knew their father and, you know, familiar face, and he knows me from Iran. And I told him that I left, you know, my family, my wife and two children in Iran. He said, don't worry. And he found me a job in that day immediately. And we came back to the store. He said that he's going to close the store at 8 o'clock. And then he told me that in that time I can go. But he called his wife and they made, you know, beautiful, nice Persian food. And he took me to his apartment in that night. Took a shower and gave me lots of stuff, and then he let me stay in one of his apartments. They are very, very wealthy. They live in La Jolla. He let me stay in one of his apartments almost for 8 months for free, and then I was just, you know, Day by day, I was writing down, like, because I didn't know English, writing down like 10, 20 words in English, and in the bus from La Jolla to downtown San Diego, just memorizing, and some phrases, you know, just memorizing them and learning English. I started working in the kitchen with Mexicans, and it was very lovely. So, yeah. So, you know, I started to support my wife and my children in Iran. In that time, I was settled a little bit. I was passing in downtown San Diego. I met a lady. She is here. She's a sweet lady, Pauline Goddard. She passes, you know, Bible verses to people in downtown San Diego, and she works at night, Saturdays night, you know. And when I was with some of my friends, and I met her, and she was, her face was so bright, and she was just passing Bible, you know, scriptures to people. And I told to one of my friends, because I was not able to speak English, I said, please come and tell her, translate whatever I say. I told to my friends that tell her I need a Bible and I want to be a Christian, I want to go to church. And she just, you know, forgot about all the people. We went to, you know, some privacy. She was talking. She got my phone number. I got her phone number. She gave me some verses, you know, and the scripture, I mean, some of the verses from Bible. And I started to be in touch. The first church, you know, Saturday we went to church with Pauline, and it was on Saturday, and I thought she's a Jew because, you know, she was, thank you, she invited, yeah, Jewish, I thought she is, because she invited, and I told to my friend, are you sure she is a Christian? They said, yeah, she is a Christian, don't worry about it. And when I came to church, I went to some of the Iranian churches in San Diego, and when I came to church, it was very different than Muslim, you know, mosque and stuff like that, you know that. I don't like the way they pray God. I don't understand why. I cannot make connection with God, you know, in that, with Islam faith. But I really liked it. They play piano, they sing. Muslim people, they cry in order to get God, you know, to be with God. They cry, they beat themselves. But here we laugh and we sing, we clap, we are so happy. So God loves happiness. This is very obvious. I don't know why they don't get it. They don't understand. So, you know, it is very lovely to laugh and to share, you know, happiness with people. God wants that. So I came to this church. We met Stella, you know, she was from here, and we came here. We met some of our friends here, Dan Houghton and Pastor Peter Neri. They had Bible study for me. It was in this tank, I remember. And we just jumped in the tank, and Pastor Peter Neri baptized me here. I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I was sharing everything with my wife. And you know that it's Satan was working in our lives. In that time, I had lots of questions, and I did not understand what's going on. But right now, I understood everything, and God answered all of my questions. But in that time, I couldn't, you know, get what's going on. And also my wife, I couldn't understand why I came to the United States and I cannot get my family. I applied for asylum, religious asylum, but the judge denied it because it was after September 11 and we are from Iran and my passport is Islamic Republic of Iran. Judge denied my case without knowing that I have my wife and two children in Iran and they are dying to see me. And I worked like 7 years. I paid to different lawyers and talked to different congresses, but all I heard just no, no, no. So one day in the morning, I wrote a letter to Laura Bush, and she responded. And I did not have, her address. Just on the envelope, I wrote the First Lady of United States, White House, and the letter just went, and she got it, and she answered. So she answered, and I was so happy. I told my wife, I said, you know, I got a letter from Laura Bush. This time is going to happen. You are coming. I said, you guys are coming. But 2 weeks after that, I got another envelope from Homeland Security. It said, hey, man, this is the land of law, and even Laura Bush cannot help you, man. You have to make your status, you know. You have to do legal things, you know. Here, you cannot do it. So in that time, in the morning when they called me, and also from immigration they called me, they said, stop, your church is just, you know, sending letters. Stop doing that, man. If you are not happy, you can leave the country. And if you leave the country, you cannot come. We are not allow you to come here. You know, just if you want, you can stay. And I had my work permit. Every year, I had to extend it. So the situation was very terrible. In the morning, when they called me from immigration, that was my first, and you know, I just felt Satan's presence in my room. When from immigration they called me and they said, stop sending letter, you know, man. If you are not happy, just leave the country. And every month I had to go to immigration office and just sign a notebook and tell them that everything is okay and I'm not a troublemaker. So after when I hanged up, I got very discouraged and disappointed. And I felt, you know, just the room is getting darker and Satan is just talking here. Hey, man. Forget about your family. Are you crazy? You want to leave the United States? They are there. Just send some money. You can make your status. You can get married in United States with a citizen or whatever. You know, just talking here. And every night I was reading my Bible, and that is my bed, and I used to put my Bible right on the ground, open. So when I turned, I see my Bible, and Satan is talking. I see my Bible on the ground. I take it, and I said, Jesus, please kick him out. Kick this guy out of my room. He's talking too much. Right after that, you see, I just felt Holy Spirit in my room, and I called Pastor Maxwell. He knows that. And I was so, you know, I shaved, and I looked very nice. I changed my clothes. I said, you know what? I'm going to make him disappointed. I went out very nice, and Satan, you know, was very disappointed. I went out, shaved and nice. I got, you know, haircut, and I talked to Pastor Maxwell. We had prayers on the phone, and I said, this is just how I experienced this. You know, it was very interesting for me this morning. And I called to my wife. I said, you know what, I'm going to not, you know, let's just end this situation. And I was praying. I tried to go to Canada to get my family in Canada. I tried to go to Argentina. I was trying to go to, you know, other countries and just try to get my family in there. But nothing worked out. So Dan did a lot. Everybody, Pastor Maxwell came with me to different congresses. Everybody was praying, wrote a letter, you know. It didn't work out. So I talked to Nahid and I said, Nahid, let's pray. If God wants me to come back to Iran, you know, we will do it. He has to show us. If wherever he wants us to go, let's go. So we prayed and just, you know, everything worked out to go back to Iran. And it was very scary because, you know, I knew that when I get to Iranian, you know, airport in Tehran, in airport, police is going to ask me some questions. Hey, you had 6 months visa, but what happened? You could stay like 7 years in there, over 7 years. What did you do over there? Because, you know, there is no relationship with Iran, and they are very serious about this situation. I knew that, but, you know, I didn't have any more choices. So I just took a chance and took risk, and I went to Iran. And I was waiting in the line in the airport, and my heart was beating, I'm telling you. It was scary, you know. And when I got there, he got my passport, and he said, okay, are you a citizen, American citizen? I said, no, sir. He said, do you have a green card? No, sir, I don't have a green card. He said, okay, tell me, how did you stay in the United States? You have 6 months visa. And religious, you know, police. I said, you know what, I went there, I worked illegally, like lots of, you know, people in the United States. And I saved some money, I came back for my wife and my children. He said, so you left just your wife and your children to go back to the United States and work in there? I said, yeah, that's all happened, you know, and I'm here because I want to be with my family from now on. He said, okay, welcome. I went inside, and that was very interesting. I met my wife and my, you know, children after over 7 years at the airport, and everybody was watching us, you know. I sent you the videotape, you saw part of it. And everybody was watching us. We just, you know, like glue, you know, together. And we were crying and we were laughing. So it was a nice experience. And Cheyenne was a big guy and Aysan was a big girl. I couldn't believe it. You know, they are my children, but, they are mine. And I was so happy. I was so happy. So we went home. I got some gifts for them. And we went home, we had, we talked together a little bit. After that, you know, her family invited us and nice homemade food for days. So we ate a lot, you know, everybody was inviting us. After that, I said, Nayid, okay, let's sit down and talk. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm here. I want to start my social life. I'm tired of separation, and I don't want to just go anywhere. I want to be with you and my children. So we made a decision to have a restaurant in Tehran. So we met a lady. She had a beautiful restaurant, nice location, but the restaurant was not successful. Food was not good. He offered me to be her partner, and I accepted it, and I talked to Nahid because the restaurant was in one of the best areas in Tehran. So, expensive area. And we made an appointment with her to see her, to sit down and talk to her. She called one day before and she canceled it because, you know, something came up and she couldn't make it. Next time, you know, we called her and we couldn't make it. So the third time it was snowing and we are in the apartment, our apartment, and snowing, and Tehran is cold, I'm telling you. Winter time, Tehran is very cold. And we had an appointment with the lady. The third time, we went to the garage to get her car, and I don't drive in Tehran. After, you know, I went from... There is no traffic rules over there, man, I'm telling you. Nobody obeys. After driving in the United States, when you go to Iran, you cannot drive. One time I was driving in the freeway, and Nahid was sitting next to me. I see somebody jaywalking in the freeway, and I just pushed the brake and I stopped. She said, what is going on? What are you doing? I said, you know, I have to stop. He's just running in front of me. This is a freeway, not a street. She said, don't worry about it. You are going to make him confused. Just go. He's going to pass. So, yeah. So I said, okay, if this is the case, I'm not going to drive. I just pulled over and I said, Nahid, you go ahead and drive. She's a good driver in Iran. And we got this morning, I'm so sorry for her, because when we were coming to church, we were late. She was driving and she got a flat tire in the highway. She was, you know, like, it was very dangerous. I'm happy that there was no car behind us. So we fixed it, we made it. So, you know, we made an appointment. It was snowing, and we went to garage to get her car, and she was driving because I was not. She said, and I'm next to her, and she starts to drive. We heard a big, like, pop noise. And I said, what's going on? I said, I don't know. We went out, and we see there are just two tires. Somebody stole, you know, two of our tires. And the car, you know, as you know, we cannot drive our car with two tires. So we went up, and both of us started to laugh. I said, Nahid, what's going on? God doesn't want us to have this appointment. I don't know. Somehow. But this is not the way, you know. And I said, okay, Nahid, let's pray. Because she was keep telling me, Reza, go to Turkey. Apply with, you know, United Nations again. And let's go. Because she knew that I cannot live. I cannot. With my beliefs, I can't live in Iran anymore. We couldn't go. Christmas time I got to Iran, we couldn't go to church. They didn't, you know, let us in because we used to be a Muslim. And it's going to be a very big problem for the church, you know. As a Muslim, you cannot. As a converted Muslim, you cannot go to church. So we gave God 30 days. We prayed. We prayed and said, God, okay. I said, God, if you want me and my family to stay in Iran, let it happen. If you don't want us to stay in Iran, just show us what you want us to do. We will do it. Show us, you know, tell us where you want us to go. We would go. So everything worked out for Turkey. And I left Iran again. I stayed just not even 2 months in Iran and went out to Turkey. And it was like school time. My children, they were going to school, so Nahid stayed in Iran, and I left. Again, separation, and I hated it. But, you know, no more chance. We didn't have any more option. We left. I left, and I went to Ankara, the capital of Turkey. I went to the United Nations office, and I applied for refugee status, and I told them, you know, this is what's going on. It's dangerous for me to stay in Iran, you know, with my beliefs, you know. I don't feel safe in Iran. They accepted my case. And I called Nahid and I said, you know, they accepted my case. And I wanted to stay in Ankara. I did not want to go to the other cities because I knew that I can find a job in Ankara. I'm a chef. I can find, you know, in hotel or something. But United Nations, They told me that I cannot stay in Ankara. Refugees are not allowed to stay in Ankara and Istanbul and big cities. They have to go to small cities. They gave me 8 names of the cities. I did not like any of them. And I said, I don't know, you know, these cities. I don't want to go there. I want to stay in Ankara. They said, no, you have to go. I was very sad about it. And Nahid was very sad about it. Small cities, I thought I cannot find a job. And you know, I really didn't know what to do. I went there again to the United Nations office and I begged them to stay in Ankara. They said, no, you have to go. And I told them, hey, these are 8 cities and I don't know any of them. Send me where you send your brother. Think I'm your brother. Where do you send your brother? Send me there. He said, okay, if this is the case, I will send you to Sparta. I said, I will go to Sparta. And I went to Sparta. You know what happened next day? I went to Sparta. Next day, I was in one of the banks. I opened an account, new, just my second day in that city. And when I came out, Art called me. Art is one of our church members, you know, Seventh-day Adventists. He called me from United States, and I answered my cell phone. I was talking in English, and outside in the street, crowded. It's like kind of, you know, little town, but it's, the downtown is crowded. And I realized somebody, while I'm talking in English with Art, somebody is standing right next to me. I thought he's a police, and I was not, you know, kind of a little bit nervous. Why this guy is just standing right there? I talked to Art, and I shut the phone, and said in very, very, very heavy accent, you know, he's from Turkey. In English, said, hi, how are you? I said, I'm good. He said, what's your name? I said, who are you? Are you a police or something? I don't get it. He said, no, don't worry about it. Would you like to have a coffee? And I trust, I said, okay, let's go have, you know, some coffee. Like 5 minutes from the bank, I was crossing the street. I see it says American Culture Association. And I said, God, in Turkey, American Culture Association, language course, what's going on? I went inside with him and we sat down. I drank some coffee with him and then he said, would you like to work here? You speak English? I said, yeah, I speak English, but I don't know grammar. I don't know how to write in English, man. I was in the United States. I practiced with people and just I learned to speak, you know, with people. And my English is not that perfect, but yours is better than. He couldn't, you know, he was the manager of that place. And he could not speak English. I said, how you doing? I said, how you doing? He said, I'm sorry. He didn't know. They know only how are you. They don't know what how you doing is. So, I just, you know, I said, this is the situation. I don't know grammar. He said, I don't want you to teach grammar. We have lots of Turkish teachers here. They know grammar, but they don't know how to speak English. I said, okay, no problem. And I was a little bit nervous, but I started because I had to make some money. I went home and I told Nahid I found a job. I mean, I was at a hotel, no home. No home yet. I went to the hotel and I knew that Nahid and the children, they are going to come in a couple of days. They are going to come 3 days and join me in Turkey. So when I was in Ankara, coming to Sparta, the city, the little town is Sparta, I went to the church, Iranian church in Ankara, and I got somebody's phone number in Sparta, because in case when I go there, I don't know the town, you know, a Christian can help me. So I got somebody's phone number, and I put it in my pocket. So when I got to Sparta, this is, you know, I just told you, I got the job in American Culture Association, and it's a language course. And I called Nahid and I told her. So I called the pastor. That number was pastor's number in Sparta. Iranian pastor. They have, you know, for refugees, there is a little like apartment suite and it's like a church over there. And I was so happy. I called the pastor and I said, okay, this is the pastor. He's going to help me. I called the pastor and I told him that my name is Reza and here is the situation. My family, they are coming to Sparta to join me and I want to just rent an apartment. I don't want them to come to the hotel, you know, because this is very small room and they are going to have luggage. I didn't want to give hard time to my family. I wanted to have my own apartment to buy some stuff before they get in. So the pastor said, I'm sorry, right now I cannot help you. Tomorrow, because I have something important, you know, to do, I said, okay, no problem. Tomorrow again, I called him, he said something, and again, the day after tomorrow, I said, well, I don't know, this guy is a pastor, or, you know, he doesn't want to help me. So I had another, somebody else's phone number. I got it from Ankara, and I called him immediately, but Nahid and the children, they came to the hotel, and I was so sad about it because I didn't want them to come to hotel. And it was very, you know, little room. I called the guy, another guy. He just came 5 minutes. You know, when I called him 5 minutes later, he was by the hotel. Okay, let's go home. I said, where is your house? He said, yeah, we live very close by. Let's go. You know, we will find you an apartment. We went there with Nahid and the children, Iranians. We sit down, nice meal. We ate it at night. And exactly at that time, we got our apartment, first apartment in Sparta. He was a really good guy. So I started my job, and I didn't know how to, you know, teach English. And I prayed, you know, for that. Internet helped us a lot. On the internet, you know, there are lots of sites. You can just go there. And I started to learn English grammar. My grammar is good now. It's been almost 27 months in Turkey. My wife knows that. I had like 2,000 pieces of papers. I was writing my handwriting on them, you know, phrases, phrasal verbs, sentences, you know, if clause, these, all of these, you know, things, just writing and just teaching them. And I became one of the best teachers in that. I had lots of students over there. For example, this is an example for my, you know, one of my lessons. You know, get, the verb get, has lots of different meanings in English, and it's very common and very useful. Get means arrive. When did you get to, for example, San Diego? It means when did you arrive to San Diego? But they don't know that. They know get is just get me some water. Like, that's the only meaning of get they know in Turkey. Get means buy something. You know, when you go to the supermarket, don't forget to get some bread. Here, get means buy. Did you get my letter? It means, did you receive my letter? Get means receive in this sentence. And also, and also the last one has different meanings, but the last one, get also means go and arrive. Sir, do you know how to get to the post office? It means, do you know how to go to the post office? So they were very excited when I was giving them all of these, you know, stuff. And also, get means become. She got fat from eating candy all the time. It means... So... I got all of this from internet. Thank God for internet. You know, internet was so good. So, and I couldn't write in English, but I practiced. I was just writing all the, you know, words 20 times. And right now I can write a letter in English, you know. I was so happy. So, in that time, when I left United States towards Iran, I had many questions. God, why you let me, you know, to the United States? But right now I know that he knew that I have to come to the United States, get to know Jesus Christ, learn about Christianity, and have hard times here to, you know, when I get back to Turkey, I could use, you know, the English language in Turkey. That was the only way I could earn money in Turkey. And I could introduce, you know, Jesus Christ, because she was sometimes on the phone when I was in United States, when I was talking to my wife, she could not believe, you know, what's going on about a Bible, and she could not, she thought that, you know, Islam is the only way. So when we stayed in Turkey, I just talked to my wife and my children about Bible. We had Bible study because I didn't want them to go to that church. What happened was, one day, I had case with U.S. Consulate and United Nations in Turkey. They called me 8 times and they wanted to see me, because before I was in the United States, they wanted to make sure that I am the same person that I live in the United States, fingerprint, and 8 times they called me, and I was just telling everybody at church, you know, I have to go to Istanbul, they want me to go there again, interview. I was very tired of that situation. One time they called me, and they said, okay, you have to come to Istanbul. With my wife, we went there, and when we got to the consulate, a lady came and said, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. No, we don't need you here. You have to go back. And I was just very, upset about that situation, because 12 hours in the bus we came, and we have to ride a bus again 12 hours to go back, and my children, they are at home. But what happened? See what happened. When we were going back to Sparta, to our town, we got to the bus, and Nahi told me, Reza, they are Iranian. We see a guy and his 2 children, little, 2 years and 5 years, I believe, a boy and a girl, and they are in the same bus, and she got excited. She told me, go and talk. I said, hey, don't get excited. Let's get to the, they are coming with us. Let's get to Sparta. I promise I will talk to them. So we went to Sparta, to our town, and they were coming. They are refugees as well, and they don't speak Turkish. They don't know anywhere. But the pastor, the same pastor, is supposed to come at 8 o'clock to the center city and pick them up. So we went to the terminal, and I talked to the guy, and he was so happy that we are Iranians. He said, oh, I'm so glad you are Iranian. I don't know anywhere here, and I have, they were divorced with, you know, his wife, and his wife left him, and, you know, them actually, the children, went to Norway, and he came, he applied for refugee status by United Nations, and they sent them to Sparta. So when we went to the center city, I said, where are you going? He said, the pastor. I said, what is the pastor's name? He said, Nasser, the pastor. The same guy that I called him 3 times. I thought about it. I said, okay, this is, I gave him my cell phone. I said, this is his number, call him. He called, and the pastor was sleeping at 8 o'clock, and he was supposed to pick them up at 8 o'clock. I got the phone, and I said, hey, they are here, and you are supposed to go. He said, you know what, I forgot. Take them home. I said, don't worry about it. That was your, responsibility. Okay, forget about it. They are with us right now. Don't worry about it. We took them to our house, and they stayed with us for 10 years, and it was so... You know, and in that time we did not have enough money, but you know what happened? Church called me and sent me money in 10 days that we had them in our house. And I came home and I said, now it's, you see, God blessed us because they are with us right now. For 10 days we cooked and we ate. I took them to police. I registered because I speak Turkish. They couldn't. I did everything for them. They are right now very happy. We are in touch and they are working over there. And Shayan and his... children, they were going to the same school, nice, very nice people. So, but I introduced that pastor to police, you know, I gave him to police because he did many, many, many wrong things. And I went to the police and I said, this guy is not a pastor, he's not a Christian, he's just using beautiful girls coming, you know, from Iran. They're beautiful, they are welcome to his house, but if somebody is not beautiful, okay, you are not. And I was getting crazy. And one time, you know, we went to picnic. And they asked me, like 7 of them, you know, nice people, just the pastor was a little bit, I don't know. We went to picnic, and the pastor brought some tea, but he forgot to bring some sugar. And he was just on the way, he was telling that, you know what, I forgot to bring sugar. I made the food for them, some, you know, Persian shish kebabs and stuff like that. We went to a restaurant very close by, just sit down with people to drink tea. Very close to the, you know, where I cooked food for my friends' picnic. And the pastor came inside, and I thought he's going to come and join us. He came, and he's looking this way and that way. He got some sugar, put it in his pocket, and went out. I said, what's going on here? He came inside, and he's just stealing the sugar. What kind of pastor he is? Seriously, now he knows that. I did not say anything, but one time I had very bad argument with him, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. I don't let you, because he was getting some money from England. They call Elam, you know, that church, and the church is supported by England. And he was getting like $2,000 money, and he's supposed to help refugees, but he was not. He was just enjoying. So I gave him to police, you know, in Turkey. And police knew me because I was the translator. Sometimes in the 8 o'clock in the morning, they used to call me. I used to go to the police station. We were very good, you know. Police trusted us in that city, and they knew me everywhere. And I went, you know, many times in the morning, I went to the police department over there, you know, and I translated everything. And they had some visitors from European countries. I used to go there, and, you know, just because I speak Turkish and I speak English, I did many things for them, and they were very happy with us. So, but it was like 2 years, my family and I, we were in Turkey, and many people that started with us and they applied for asylum and refugee status, they were gone to the United States. But we didn't get the word from U.S. consulate, and every time, ever since I was calling them, they told me that, you know, you have to wait. Mr. Nazir, you have to wait, you have to wait, 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 wait. And we were getting very disappointed, and my wife and I, and the situation was a little bit scary, and you know, because it was taking too long. And every Monday I was calling to the U.S. Consulate, and again they are telling me, you know what, you have to wait, you have to wait, you have to wait. But not exact time. Everybody was gone. You know, most of the refugees, and we are in that town, and the situation is getting, you know, and I did not have many hours because the economy was not good. Most of the students, they didn't want to pay for English, courses, so I didn't get many hours, and I was not making enough money. The situation was not so good. So, and we didn't have any chance, you know, we had to wait. It's been almost 9 years. We've been waiting, and we couldn't just give up and just praying, and the church is praying for us. But in that time, it was, I'm telling you, it was very, very difficult. Nahid cried many times, Shayan, Aysan, and myself. I didn't cry in front of them, but, you know, sometimes I went out. I used to, for 27 months that I was in Turkey, I used to walk like 45 minutes. I have to. Walk 45 minutes, winter time, summer time, no problem, snow, no problem. I had to go to the police department and sign my notebook that show them we are in Sparta, we are okay, because they are responsible, you know, about our case and us in that city. They want to make sure that we are in a good situation, good condition, and nothing happened to us. So every day, just 45 minutes walk and then come back home. And I was just going and talking, praying, God, you know, please do something. We have lots of friends in the United States. If you want to send us to the United States, just let it happen. If you want to send us to Canada, just let it happen. We cannot go back to Iran, but send us wherever you want us to be. So, I want to tell you that while I was in Sparta, one day Dan called me, and he met some Turkish people in England. They were Seventh-day Adventists, and he gave them my phone number. One day, one of them called me from Izmir. They are from Izmir, and they introduced himself, and he said, Reza, do you know Dan Houghton? I said, yeah, I know him. He said, yeah, we met them in England. You know, we are Adventists. We are very happy to see you. I got their address, and I was not making good money in Sparta. I talked to Nahid and I said, Nahid, I'm going to go to Izmir. We have some friends over there. Let's go there to see what's going on. I went there and I met the guy and his wife, the very nice people. Through them, I met a family over there, a pastor. He was from United States. I met them. So we became, you know, good friends, and they came to our house in Sparta. We went with my family. We went to their house. So I want to tell you how God blessed us, you know, with this American pastor. And we became good friends. So from U.S. consulate, these are the last, you know, parts what happened. From U.S. consulate called me and they said, hey, your case is accepted and this is your flight date and you have to do medical check and everything. So after that, you are ready to fly. So that was a good news, and we were so happy. We went to Istanbul. We did our medical check. We stayed in hotel, and U.S. consulate, you know, U.S. government paid for everything for our medical, and we stayed in hotel. So that was very, very good news, and we got lots of hope after that phone call. But what's going on? $6,000 the police in Turkey, you know, Turkish police wants us to pay in order to go to the United States. Why? Because they let us to stay in their country for 27 months. They call it land money in Turkey. And for four of us, we have to pay $6,000 because they let us use their land and stay in Turkey. And that was a lot of money. I said, now Satan doesn't want us to go, you see. He is just throwing some stone, you know, on the way, and he doesn't want us to get back to the United States, but you know that he cannot do anything. So $6,000, we got again a little bit disappointed. I went to police and I talked to them, and I told them, you know, I was teaching English here. We were good refugees. We didn't bother you guys. You know, we always signed our notebook. Said, okay, no problem. I will give you discount for $3,000, but you have to pay $3,000. That was very nice, but still we are short like $1,300. We sold our, you know, laptop and stuff we had at home, but not refrigerator and whatever furniture, because Nahid and I, when we got to Turkey, we prayed together, God, if we get good news, if we can go to the United States, we will just give everything away to all, you know, other refugees. We are not going to sell this stuff. And Satan was making, because I promised God, Satan was making to sell them. I could sell my refrigerator, my TV and everything and get the money, pay to the police and go. But I said, you know what, I'm not going to sell none of these because I promised God and I'm not going to sell. Right now I'm going back to the United States and I promised God I'm going to give all this stuff away. I'm not going to sell it, and I know God is going to provide it for us. So we were short for $1,300. American guy called me from Izmir. He said, Reza, I said, what's going on, Bayard? He said, Reza, you know what? We are making like 20 minutes videotape, and it's religious, you know, Christian, and we want a family. Are you willing with your family to play this videotape? We will give you some money. I said, man, I will do everything. What do you want me to do? If that is, yeah. So he came, and they took like 950 photos, and they stayed night at night with us, and they video camera, and I took them to nice areas in Sparta, because I know the city, very beautiful. They took some pictures, and they are doing like videotapes, religious. That was very nice. You know, I was a Turkish man, for example, in that, and I was gambling, I was bothering my wife and my children, and all of a sudden, you know, I found the key, and God, after that, I'm just behaving nice, you know, So I knew that because it already happened to me, and I knew that. So we did that, and he was leaving. He gave me a hug, and he said, Reza, I'm so happy that you are going to the United States. And he handed to me like $700 he put in my pocket. And I didn't know how much he put in my pocket. I just said, bye, and I came home. I said, no, you see what's going on, $700. So we are good right now. We need $600. So God provided this much, and I make sure that he's going to. So Nahid's sisters, they came to see us off in Istanbul. They gave us $1,000. We had more, you know, money, more than that, you know, we needed. So they came to see us off. But the last part, Nahid's mother was supposed. Satan did everything, and because he didn't want us to come here. You know what? Because I believe God has planned for my son and for my daughter in this country. And Satan knows that, and he did not want us to go to get together in the United States. But God is more powerful and stronger. What happened when they were coming to see us off, Nahid's mother was supposed to come, and she got heart attack in last days, and she went coma, and she was in hospital. They called me, her sisters called me and told me, I said, you know what, don't let Nahid know. Because we are about leaving Turkey to go to the United States. If she knows, she's going to come back to Iran and the case is dismissed. Please don't let her know. She told me, Reza, my wife said, Reza, something is going on. I know something fishy is going on, and my mother is not feeling good. I said, why? I knew that, you know, she's in hospital. I said, why you say that? She said, because, you know, I'm calling her and just she doesn't answer, and I'm just calling this sister, that sister, they don't answer. I know something is wrong. And I called them, the sister, and I said, hey, now it is getting to know that something is wrong. Please do something. But the sister was so smart and called Nahid and said, don't worry, mom is a little bit sick, but I promise you, I will bring her. And in 2 days, she's going to be with you in Turkey. So she was happy. But when they came to Turkey, just two sisters came, and the mother was not. She started to cry in airport. But I was so happy that in that time happened, because they came and they talked to Nahid. They stayed with us. They said, mom is going to be okay. And in Turkey, they called us from Iran. They said that mom is getting better, you know, day by day. She got the chance to talk to her mother. And right now, the mom is, the doctor said she's going to just, you know, she's going to die, her mother. But right now, she's at home. The mother is at home, and she's doing good. And we talked to her. So we came to United States, to New York. And when we got here, I was just praying, you know, on the way in the airplane. It was like 21 hours flight. And we came to New York. After that, we came to Dallas. And then from Dallas to San Diego. When we came out, I was feeling so good that I'm back. Because, you know, I lived in the United States. Nice people here. Freedom of speech. You can have whatever religion you want. You can go to church freely. You can have Bible in your car. You can drive. In Iran, it's very scary to have Bible in your car. But here, you know, you can have Bible in your hand. You just walk outside. In the morning when you are walking outside, you know, people see you. Hi, good morning. But, you know, you like that. Everybody is laughing. And but Iranian, I don't want to say, you know, Iranians, are, we have beautiful, we have a deep culture. But this is just all because of the government. We have a beautiful Iranian culture. We are part of that country. We are nice people. My wife, my children, you know, like you, we live here. But that government, they are not Iranians. They are coming from Muhammad's generation. They came to destroy our country. They came to destroy our name. We are Persians. We are good people. We believe in God. Before Muhammad, you know, brought Islam to our country, we used to believe just one God. So, you know, I am so happy that Nahid is not a Muslim. She's not a Christian yet, but she's not a Muslim. It's so good to know that she's not practicing Islam. She doesn't believe in Muhammad. Because that religion is fake. And you see what's going on. They kill their own people. You see what's going on in Iran right now. We don't want to be there. That's the Satan's last trick. Islam is the Satan's last trick, you know, against Jesus Christ. But they have to go, and they will go. One day, very soon, they will go. And I am just so happy that our prayers, God answered our prayers. And we came back here, and we still need your prayers. And you are in our prayers. And my wife and my children, they really thank you so much. We gave away all of the stuff that we had in Turkey, but we got double here. You know, when we came here, we just put our luggage in our apartment. It was empty. 1 week later, I was sitting on the couch, and I said, Nahid, can you believe what happened here? You see, where did all of this stuff come from? We have everything in our house, and we are happy. And still, Satan is working, and it's going to work. But we need your prayers. We saw, you know, Satan worked, I told this before, worked every minute to destroy my family, but Jesus worked every second to save my family. We really thank you, and pray for my wife. I'm not worried about my children. They will pick the language fast. And she is just a little bit worried, but she is very smart. She can learn, and she is learning. I prayed, you know, when I was here, I prayed. I did not have time to go to school, but I prayed, and I learned the language with people. And I know with prayers, God can do everything. I'm going to close my talking, but I would like to give you just a Christian joke, very clean and beautiful joke, and close it down. One day, two guys, they're friends, and they love each other very much, but they always argued about whether Jesus is white or black. One of them, Tom, said Jesus is black, and Joe said Jesus is white. They died, both of them died on the same day, and they went to the heaven, and somebody came, and they said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Peter." One of them said, "Hey, Peter, glad to see you, man. We were arguing whether Jesus is white or black. So you tell us what's going on." They were just talking to Peter. Jesus came along and said, "Buenos dias."
Thank you.
Not only has Reza got a good command of English, can he speak English?
Thank you.
But, you know, he also has quite a capability to speak. Did you notice that? You know, I have believed ever since that first day when I met Reza for the first time on his baptism day. And I'll never forget, because of his background in Islamic religion, I remember when Pastor Neri called all the elders up and we knelt to pray, and Reza went right down with his forehead on the floor. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's because that was the way he was used to praying. Okay? And I remember just thinking in my heart that God had something special for him to be able to communicate the gospel in some powerful ways. And we've seen evidence of God's leading incredibly. Now, Are y'all in a hurry?
No.
Anybody in a hurry? Okay. Would you be willing to answer a couple questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have a question you'd like to ask that Reza
Pastor
might be able?
Maxwell.
Pastor Burton, let me bring the mic to you. Hey, can I get another microphone, guys?
Reza, I want you to tell them about what happened when you got to New York City and you had to go in and they took and looked at your papers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Said, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah, you know, that was just when I left the United States, and also most of my friends here, and I'm sure some of you maybe, you know, they never thought that I'm going to come back again. And I never thought, because when I was living, they told me, "If you leave the country, you are not allowed to come back." But I left because of my family. But, you know, the case, they stuck in Turkey. And then when I got the news, good news, we came to New York. We came with like 70 Iraqis people. They were all refugees. And we were, my family and I, we were the only Persians, Iranians with them. So everybody, paperwork done, and all the Iraqis gone. Just, we are still in New York, you know, in the office waiting. And they called me. "Okay, you have to go to that room for secondary checkup, like check or
screening."
Yes. I went to that room and I said, "Nahid, you see, they are still, you know, they don't want to accept us. What's going on? Let me go and talk to them." I went there, you know, the officer, immigration, he was on the internet, and he said, "You've been here before?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What are you doing here now?" I said, "I don't know. I just came." He said, "How is that possible? You left the country. You are not supposed to come back. And you went to Iran. After that, you went to Turkey. You applied for a man. You have to write a book, man. What is going on here? How did that happen?" And I said, "Yeah, my family here, they are with me." He said, "Oh, you are not only by yourself, so you came with your family, four people. I don't understand what's going on." And he called two other people. They are from immigration officers, and they are just searching, and they don't understand what's happening, why the government allowed me to come back. And they started to laugh. One of them said, "We are not laughing at you. Let's laugh together. We are laughing to the system. We don't know what's going on, man." you came anyway. Welcome. Good luck. Go, man. But don't forget to write a book. I said Pastor Maxwell's wife, Patricia Maxwell, is writing a book. So
right.
that was very, yeah, interesting.
Anybody else have a question you'd like to ask Reza? Anybody? Okay, microphone right back here.
Yes, I'm just curious whether it was the United Nations refugee program that made the decision that you could come back, or was it a United States immigration officer? I'm just wondering who made the final decision.
Homeland Security, United States.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I got a mic right up here for this one. Got another one right over there.
I'm curious to know what happened to the pastor who seemed to be a crook. And they were giving him $2,000 every month from England. Whatever happened to him?
Okay. He's still there. But they sent another pastor because we reported to England and I told them, I wrote a letter that this guy is not working. You know, he's not doing his job. He is just getting money and he's having fun. He's still over there, but they changed the pastor and the refugees are very happy with the new one right now. He's helping, you know, with them. Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Wayne?
I'm curious about part two. What are you doing now? Do you have a restaurant we can come and eat at?
Right now?
Right now?
Actually,
and where are you living? I'm just curious about...
I have my apartment in Rancho Penasquitos because there are nice schools, you know, in that area. And it's halfway to our church and to downtown San Diego. So it's a nice apartment, two bedrooms apartment. And... church helped us, you know, to get a car. We have our car right now, so we can drive. And I am looking for, I'm praying, I don't know, God, whatever God wants me to do. Right now, I'm just going for a restaurant. I want to have a, you know, Mediterranean food, Mediterranean place and food. That's my goal, but I don't know what's, I'm open, you know, whatever happens, I will do. So.
You've been doing some catering?
Yeah, I've been doing some caterings for Iranians, you know. And they miss my food, so they are very happy.
Yeah. Okay. When we find out the restaurant, we'll let everybody know so we can go down and...
Reza, you forgot to tell about Nahid's sister having cancer in her
And also,
bones,
yeah,
and
I want you please to pray
to
for Nahid's, you know,
sister.
Yes,
but
sister,
got, yeah.
Because she has bone cancer, and she's very, very, very nice woman, and we love her very much. She's full of positivity, you know. She's very positive, but she's not in a good condition right now. She has bone cancer, but we are praying for her. The mother and the sister. I really appreciate for that.
And may I add one thing real fast? I have, because of you and Ghulam being such good friends, I think that he had a lot to do with Ghulam taking his stand, too, because he looked to you, and you were a good example. And so I think that, you know, you two are like brothers, and you and he are like brothers to me. I don't have any
Absolutely.
Real brothers. But
and Ghulam, yes,
I
he is here right now.
Dearly.
He is another Iranian that he became a Seventh-day Adventist church, Adventist Christian, and he was baptized here. Pastor Maxwell baptized. And I most of you know Ghulam. He's here.
Yes.
He's a good brother.
Yes, we love Ghulam.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Okay, Pat.
I understand that your children were not able to go to school in Turkey. Why is that? Is that a regulation of that government or what?
Shayan was able to go to school, but I saw not because, you know, refugees are not allowed to go to high school. I don't know why. Yeah, are not allowed. And she was, you know, studying English and she was studying on the self-study, on the net sometimes, you know. But we registered her. She's going to go to school here. They are young, you know. They will learn English fast and they're very smart. Yeah.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, right over here. Okay, hold on. Let me get you the microphone.
I was telling Reza, I said, you got to tell him this, you got to tell him that, you know. And I said, I can tell your story better than you can. And so anyway, so I tell him, I said, you got to tell him about the drug. You know, when your wife gave you the drug and then you went to the drugstore and and sold the drug, you know, to the drugstore. And he's going, it wasn't the drugstore. It was the rug store. And it was a rug,
yeah,
not a drug.
It's a rug store, yeah.
And here I am.
And now he's the English teacher.
Not here. In Turkey, I was the king of English in Turkey, but not here. Because over there, nobody speaks English. So I was good, but not here.
Okay, yeah, Lee.
Hey, Reza, what would they have done to you if they would have found out you were a Christian when you went back to Iran with a Bible?
Okay, say that again. I'm sorry, I didn't.
If you had gone back to Iran with a Bible, what could the government have done to you?
Actually, you know, I did not. I left everything in Pastor Maxwell's house. I did not take my Bible, nothing. And also I just hide my cross. I put it somewhere in my luggage, you know.
But if they had found out you had been converted,
they have no mercy. They have no mercy on us.
Would they have killed you or locked you up?
That's in Quran. When a Muslim converts to another religion, they must, you know, kill the guy. And they do it. Stone the guy, yeah. Stone to death, yeah. So it's crazy, you know. It's very crazy. You see what's going on? They killed a girl over there.
Well,
I have a question.
Okay, we'll come to you in just a moment.
Who told you that joke? It wasn't me.
You don't have to tell.
Yeah, you said what?
She says, who told you the joke, but you don't have to tell.
No, who said that? Yeah, you know, on the internet. I got it on the internet.
Okay. Right here. Yes, ma'am.
Whatever Reza said, exactly 100% truth. I am from Iran. 36 years ago, I left Iran when Shah was in power. And my sister, a month ago, came here for my niece's wedding, and she was saying that two girls, one of them 27 years old, and one of them 32 years old, and they became Christian, and they arrested them. The government arrested them.
Okay. Donna?
I was wondering what your experience, you and your family, what it's been since you've come here as far as your neighbors, how people have accepted you. Has it been positive? Or, of course, your kids haven't, I guess, actually started in public school yet or anything like that. But have you had any negative, you know, the
You're
way people...
You're talking about my family.
Yeah, the way people are treating you here in the United States, you and your family.
Fortunately, since now everything was positive, but there are still, you know, lots of differences here. They are just comparing, you know. Sometimes they are just shocked. For example, when they go to the beach, Nahid and I and my children, we can just, you know, enjoy together and go to the water with a swimsuit and everything. But in Iran, ladies are separated and guys, even though I'm her husband, but I cannot enjoy the water with my wife. We are separated, you know. So these are good, and now he says, wow, look at this. It's very beautiful. We can go, you know, nobody's watching us. But in Iran, man, if you go out with top, everybody's watching you. Because not all the people are like that. But here, just, you know, everybody's like that. When you go to the beach, and nobody wants to look at you. Because it's normal here. And they're very happy, you know. That's one of the things that they were shocked when we go to the beach together. They see that everybody's enjoying and families together and nobody's bothering them. No. Thank God, no.
Amen.
No. They are happy.
Isn't this been an amazing story this afternoon? You know, I am so grateful, Reza, for the way that God has so led good. You. And he's just beginning. Just don't forget that this is just one more milestone in the journey. The journey still has a wide open space out in front of you. Yes. And I know that God is going to lead you and your family in some powerful ways. Now, would Nahid like to say anything to this group?
Dostari chizi begi, tu farsi begi man tarjuma konam. میتونی تشکر کنی؟ میتونی بلند شی فارسی بگی من چیز کنم؟ میتونید فارسی هر چی دوست دارید. دوستای ایرانی هم اینجا داریم. She is going to talk in Farsi and I will, you know, translate that. I don't know.
تشکر میکنم برای دعاهایی که این تو این سالها برای ما کردن. همین.
My wife said she is very grateful to you guys and to the Lord because of your prayers and your support. She is very happy that you know our prayers are answered.
Amen. 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 Well, I think it would be a wonderful way to close this time together. To just invite Reza to bring his family up here. I'd like to invite Burton and Pat Maxwell and Gerald, if you would come, and let's just have a special prayer session. I know Brenda was there, but just, okay. We just want to have a special prayer time. And Sam, please. We just want to hold these guys up in special prayer for the next leg of their journey. Okay? All right. I'm going to just hand the phone over. Or phone. Phone. You can see what I live with all the time, right? I'm going to hand the microphone and let Pat, if you would pray first, then hand it to Pastor Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, let's stand up together.
Father in heaven, our hearts are so full of gratitude and thankfulness to you for opening the doors that Reza, Nahid, Aysan, and Cheyenne are here in this country. Lord, I know you have big, big plans for each one of them. And if there's any way any of us can be of any help, you let us know. And continue to guide Reza and Nahid in their daily decisions. Guide him to the right spot for employment. Guide the children as they start school. Just keep your hand over this family and use them in a mighty way to share your love wherever they go. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I too want to thank you so much for what you're doing and for the way that you operate and move. You know, we don't understand why you did it the way you did it, but what we do know is that you did it. Uh-huh. And it's so wonderful, Father, to know that you're God who we can totally trust. And so now we come to you. We praise you, first of all, for all the neat things you've done. And I want to thank you for the fact that Reza is back with his wife and his two beautiful children, Aysan and Cheyenne. But, Father, I just pray that you'll wrap your arms around them in a very special way. Just guide them and direct them. Be with Aysan and Cheyenne as they go to school, and pray that you'll be with Nahid, Father, just keep your arms wrapped around her. Be especially with her mother and be with her, especially with her sister with this bone cancer. Mm-hmm. Lord, what we know is that you can heal people. Mm-hmm. You've done it in the past. And I'd like to ask that you do it here in this case. Mm-hmm. But Father, again, I thank you for this wonderful Sabbath mm-hmm. and for this testimony and for what you've done and for what you are going to do. Mm-hmm. We are yours. We believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we continue this journey. And Reza's story is our story. We are a part of that story and a part of that journey. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the heart to pray. It might have seemed that that was a small part that we were playing, but it was the major part. We thank you for what prayer means to us. And so we continue that journey and we continue our prayers for Reza and his family. You have a work for him. We're not sure exactly which direction that will be, but we know you have a work for him. Continue that, and Lord, we pray that you would bless him and his family. That they would never regret the journey that they've taken for you. Because ultimately, for all of us, our prayer that it is that it will end up in the kingdom of God. Amen. That's why we're all here. So we join our hearts together with that thought, thanking you for the many people who have been involved in his life. So bless us and bless Reza and his family. We trust you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, we're finished. And thank you for coming. If you've been blessed, say amen and shake somebody's hand close to you. And if you want to get a chance to come up and talk to these guys, they're going to be around here and you can just come visit with them. Give them a hug.
Thank you so much. All right. This is done, huh? All right. Beautiful. Oh, man.